Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Oh my god, la la la, let me explain. Relationships that they
hello and welcome to another Monday episode of It's Not You, It's Them, but it might be you with me, la la la, let me explain. Did you know that before I was a social worker, I was a sexual health educator? You probably do, because that's the kind of thing I go on about quite a lot. I worked for the NHS delivering sexual health and relationship advice to 11 to 21 year olds in youth settings, like youth offending institutes, schools, colleges. We were also posted in sexual health clinics. I used to help run youth clinics and all sorts, but I'm not medically trained, so I couldn't diagnose you or treat your sexual health issues. Don't try and show me your vagina or anything. Don't send me pictures of like things coming out of your penis. I can't help you with that. But I am trained in the basics of sexually transmitted infections, and I'm qualified and experienced in being able to educate people about them. And that's probably why I regularly get questions about sexually transmitted infections. I'm going to call them STIs for the rest of this podcast. They used to be called STDs, but people changed that from STD to STI because a disease sounds a lot more scary than an infection. And not all sexually transmitted infections are diseases. So STI covers it better. Most commonly, I get messages about STIs from people who are in relationships. People would probably think that they're predominantly from people who are sleeping around or going out on dates, but my most amount of messages about STIs are from people in long-term relationships. But as I say, they're so stigmatized and so shrouded in shame, and they really shouldn't be. And that is why I want to have a chat all about them today to try to remove some of those myths and stigmas and just get that conversation going. We should not be ashamed of STIs. It's no more shameful than having the flu. In preparation for this podcast, I asked my Instagram followers a few questions. Firstly, I was really curious to establish how many people use condoms with new partners. And I think we all know that apart from total abstinence, the only way to prevent STIs is by using condoms. And obviously, condoms aren't fail-safe. You can still catch things like crabs, scabies, herpes, and HPV, even with a well-put-on condom. There are risks from skin-to-skin contact. And obviously, there are risks also of condoms breaking. You just never know. So there is no form of sex that is 100% completely safe, condom or not. But still, we all know how important condoms are. And most especially, if you're not on any form of contraception and you don't want to become pregnant or get someone pregnant. However, despite all of us knowing this, I have become aware in the last few years of how lax condom use has really become. I mean, every man that I've slept with in the last 10 years, pretty much same for all my mates, and we've done surveys about this as well on my Instagram, it's very rare. Most men will try not to use them if they can. And in fact, most men that I know personally, and I have obviously had this conversation with loads of men over the years for this job, most men I know say that nobody uses them. They would all happily have unprotected sex if we, as women, hadn't insisted. And obviously, I'm not generalising totally. There are some occasional men out there who are extremely safe. But it has become such a common thing now for men to be very laissez-faire about putting condoms on. As I say, every man that I've tried to have sex with in the last 10 years would happily have had unprotected sex if I hadn't insisted. And once or twice, I didn't insist. Even at my big, qualified, I definitely know better age, I've told myself, look, I like him. I'm sure he's only dating me. I've been a bit drunk or whatever. And I've just let it happen. And then really regretted it because I don't think it's possible for me to have unprotected sex outside of a relationship without spending the next month experiencing psychosomatic STI symptoms, literally strong pain, all sorts of symptoms that disappear as soon as I get a negative STI test. And the sex has never been worth the stress. But as I said, most men, and again, generalising, but you know, I don't know how we can prove it otherwise, but I will go out on a limb and say most, maybe two thirds, really aren't into condoms. And a lot of women that I speak to are also pretty relaxed about them too. So I wasn't surprised by the results of my Instagram poll. 41% of 11,000 people, so it's quite a good survey, like, you know, quite a good proportion of people we're asking here. 41% of 11,000 people said they used condoms every time they have sex with a new person. So well done, you lot. Big respect. You're better people than me. 20% said that they don't often use condoms. And 39% of my followers said it depends on who it's with, which I'm assuming means that if it's a one-night stand, then they would insist. But if they like the person, which is probably the most common scenario, then condoms aren't happening. So that is a whole 59% of people who mostly aren't using condoms. Everyone on Hinge is sharing the same chlamydia. The mad thing is that it's not just daters and people on apps who are at risk. Even when men are cheating, they're frequently not using condoms. And again, I say men, I probably can't prove that women are using condoms when they cheat, but it is such a common thing. Over the years, I have had an abundance of messages from women who've slept with married men and are now pregnant, or from wives who've suddenly developed gonorrhea after 20 years of a loyal marriage, or from girlfriends who've developed herpes symptoms in a 5-year relationship. So many. And people aren't even using them for one-night stands. Again, I've had so many questions over the years from women who are pregnant after a one-night stand or who've contracted infections and don't know if they should tell the person. And even though I'm not one to talk, I mean, I am one to talk, actually. It's only been a couple of times that I've been really fucking slack about it. But still, I should admit where I'm not one to talk. But I still do need to emphasise how important they are outside of exclusive relationships. In the same poll, I asked my followers, have you ever gone into sex thinking you'll definitely insist on condom use, but then ended up caving and going without? 19% of my followers said often, sometimes was 56%, and never was 25%. So basically, 75% of people have found themselves in that situation, and some of them often. And I get it. Condom use can be a hard conversation to navigate. And it's very easy for me to sit here and say, tell them to put on a condom, and if they don't, get up and leave because they don't respect you. But when you're laying in bed with someone you like, who you've built a connection with, and they tell you that they want to feel you properly and be inside you for real, and they convince you that they haven't slept with anyone else for months, and they had a test recently, so you lap it up without verification because you want it to be true, because you're both naked, and you just don't want this to all end right now with you being militant about your own boundaries. But if you aren't militant about them, then it can feel like the best option is to just go for it and regret it later. And there's this fucked up and sad thing for women around condom use, because not using condoms is so much more detrimental to us. An unwanted pregnancy undoubtedly is a far greater burden on a woman physically and mentally. And STIs tend to mentally affect us more. We feel dirtier, more anxious and concerned, whereas men are often more stoic and just get on with it. We worry more about whether anyone will ever want us again. And obviously, I'm not just making this up. This is like tales, anecdotes from the sexual health clinic. Ask any diagnosing doctor or somebody who works in an STI clinic. Men are just, I mean, you'll get, again, when I say men and women, there's obviously going to be some men who react like women and some women who react like men. But in the main, men just tend to be like, okay, I've got this. I'll deal with it. Whereas women ask a ton of questions. They sit there crying. They worry about whether anyone will ever want them again. We react very differently to STI diagnoses. Hi guys, it's me and I'm here to tell you about another Sony Music Entertainment podcast. Now, I know you all like to have a deeper look and get under the skin of a subject, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to me deconstructing hot topics and getting into the nitty-gritty with all your dating dilemmas. So I think you're going to love Getting Curious with the fabulous Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye. Every week they deep dive into conversations with a variety of experts on some really, really important and eye or ear opening topics like the history of abortion and the science of sleep. Get excited, get curious and listen to Getting Curious wherever you get your podcasts. Unless a man is receiving anal, the risk of contracting an STI after having unprotected sex with an infected partner is different for men and women because women have a larger mucous membrane surface in the vagina and are therefore more susceptible to STIs. For men, the STI risks are obviously the same, but they can walk away from pregnancy if they choose. And condom sex definitely feels infinitely different to them. For the most part, when women are foregoing condoms, it is for the man's benefit. It's because we don't want him to think we're inadequate and boring, or we don't want our sex to feel worse than the other women who do let him use no condoms. We take massive risks for the benefit of the penis and often for keeping the man. And we need to stop doing this. I want us to have the mentality that if he's so easy to lose, then he's worth losing. And that our health and well-being and peace is so much more important than holding on to some man and men. You need to have some fucking respect for your own penis too. But see condom sex as a treat before the real treat. It means you can have sex with her for the first time twice, once with a condom and then lose your virginity again without one. And I mean, just seriously, grow up. Your dick has value too. He doesn't deserve to be just stuck in whatever without protection. Think about him. And I am not just talking to young people here. Whilst under 25s are at the highest risk for chlamydia and gonorrhea, the rates of STIs among older adults is rising every year. People associate STIs with reckless teens and 20s on 18 to 30s holidays. It's not just 19-year-olds at uni or in Marbella who are passing around infections. One of the most at-risk groups are people in their late 40s and 50s who've come out of long marriages or relationships and don't think that people of their age group are likely to be exposed to the clap. The thing is that a lot of STIs come without any symptoms at all. You can live with chlamydia and gonorrhea and HPV for years without ever knowing it. And many people do, often only finding out once it's turned into pelvic inflammatory disease, which can affect fertility. Some people think it sounds cynical and untrusting, but I personally think that married people, people in long-term relationships, should get yearly STI tests. I think everyone should, unless obviously you've been completely sexually inactive. I just think it's better to get an STI test every year than it is to assume that everything is definitely safe because you're married. Speak to any escort, male or female, and ask them how many married men are out here asking to use no condoms. It's a lot. And 1 in 10 British men are regularly hiring sex workers. I mean, for your information, sex workers are usually very safe and test more regularly than your average person. But the ones who are having unprotected sex are often trafficked women with no access to healthcare. It is a risky pursuit and a lot of men are doing it. One that a lot of partnered men are taking and then bringing those results of those risks back to their wives. And obviously, it doesn't have to be. STIs aren't related to cheating, sleeping around, sleeping with sex workers at all. You can get an STI the first time that you ever have sex. Nobody is immune. And of course, the more unprotected sex that you have, the greater your chances. Having anal sex increases your chances because of the skin, you know, the thin skin, maybe potentially tearing and can be micro tears, but that can enable infections to get in more easily. Having bacterial vaginosis or thrush also increases your chances. And thrush and bacterial vaginosis, BV, aren't STIs. They are things that women can make ourselves, but they can also be passed and transmitted via sex. But anyway, married, all over Hinge, a virgin, nobody is safe. And you don't even have to have penetrative sex. You can transmit some STIs just through touching. But remember, some STIs have no symptoms whatsoever and you may not know. But if you experience any of those symptoms, then you need to go to your GP or your local GUM, which is genitourinary medicine. It's basically your sexual health clinic, especially if you want them to look at a sore or something. And it can feel humiliating to go to a clinic or to discuss sexual health with doctors who are essentially just strangers. But I want to assure you that they don't care. They've seen 100 vaginas this week and they are not going to think anything of yours or your penis or your bum hole. They don't care if it's hairy. They don't care what it smells like. They don't care what your flaps look like. They don't care. They're so over it. They want you to get healthy and that is it. Everyone is there for the same thing and that is a good thing. And we must normalise testing. And we must normalise not sleeping with new people without condoms without testing first. I want to see your text. You know, that's what you get. If you go to the sexual health clinic, you get a text which gives you your status. Never believe, if you're sleeping with someone new and you say, have you been tested? And they're like, yeah, yeah. Don't just walk away. I want to see your text. And it has to be within the period of us knowing each other. Like, if your text is from last week, cool. If it's from 3 months ago where I didn't even know you, no, go and get another test. And it might feel scary to have someone looking so closely at your genitals. It might put you off testing, especially if you've experienced sexual trauma. But it's important that you speak to the doctor and explain that. And you can also request a double appointment or bring someone with you. So what they might do when you go for a test is take a blood test. They don't always, that's your choice, because they can test for HIV as well. But they will likely take a swab of your vagina with something that looks like basically a big cotton bud. You can order STI test kits online. You swab yourself and then you send it off. In my poll about sexual health, 90% of my followers said that they'd previously tested for sexually transmitted infections. I am very proud of you lot, nearly 100%. Well done. And out of those people, 30% said that they'd had an STI at some point in their lives. So I'm not going to go into a big whole science lesson here, mainly because I don't actually know the facts myself, mainly. I'm not medically trained, but I want to just tell you broadly how the infections are split. You can get bacterial STIs, viral STIs, and parasitic STIs. So it's important that you know the difference. Good old chlamydia and gonorrhea are bacterial infections, and that means with antibiotics they can be treated and cured, and if caught in time can be over and done with without any complications. Syphilis is also a bacterial infection, and that can lead to literal madness and death if you leave it alone, but can be treated easily if you catch it in time. Viral infections include human papilloma virus, which is HPV, and herpes, which is herpes simplex virus, HSV, HIV as well, molluscum contagiosum, which sounds like something out of Harry Potter, and hepatitis B. So these are viral infections. That means you can't just take antibiotics to clear them. They are a virus. And actually, you wouldn't find out that you had any of these from a routine test unless you opted for the HIV test. And pretty much every sexually active person in the world, nearly 80%, carry the herpes virus. And you probably wouldn't ever know that you had HPV unless you had a smear test. And only if you had a smear test at that time. So you could have had HPV for a whole year, it clears itself out, then you have your smear test the next year and you're totally clear of it. You have no idea that you just recovered from HPV. HPV is basically invisible unless it presents as genital warts or unless it develops into abnormal cell changes. You could have it, get rid of it in between your smear test and never know. But smears are vital because whilst there is nothing to worry about, there could be if you left it. By some absolutely miracle stroke, HPV is the only STI that I've ever had. They caught it at a smear test, and then a year later, it was gone. But you could contract it 10 years before it ever shows up on your smears. And it is very common to be HPV positive at a smear test, but it doesn't mean that you can't have sex or that you'll get cancer. HIV was a killer. And now HIV is something where actually you can get to a point where you can't even transmit it anymore if you're taking the right medication. There are also parasitic infections, which are caused by parasites that can be sexually transmitted. And those include pubic lice, scabies and Trichomonas vaginalis, which presents much like BV. So if you're having smelly, fishy odour, watery discharge, and you keep treating BV and it keeps coming back, it may well be that you have TV. So again, you need to get tested. Know yourself, be aware of any changes in smell or discharge, and check things out if it feels weird. But don't feel weird. Your vagina might feel weird, but you are not weird. But the STI that I get the most DMs about is herpes, HSV, because the stigma around herpes is crazy. And it only exists, actually, because of Cervarix creating the hype. Prior to that, herpes was just a normal thing that pretty much everyone had. And then Cervarix apparently wanted to market something for cold sores. And so in order for people to want to buy something that treated their cold sores, they had to put this hype around cold sores being disgusting, herpes being disgusting. And the stigma began after Cervarix did that marketing. And actually, nobody really freaks out about cold sores on the mouth. You know, people aren't like, "Ugh, she's got a cold sore, she's a big slag." But many people who have their first outbreak of herpes feel like their lives are over. And as I said before, men tend to be more relaxed. It's women who tend to really freak out about this. And people worry that nobody will ever want to sleep with them again, but that is completely untrue. Having herpes is no different to a mouth cold sore. You can catch them from kissing your nan. And it's the same logic. Don't kiss with cold sores. And don't have sexual activity with genital sores. And that's it. Once they've gone, you can safely resume safe sex. And you may not even get them that often, and you can take antiretrovirals to treat them. It is not something that we should panic about. If someone rejected you for having herpes, they could just as easily contract them from the next person they sleep with. Or they could even have it themselves already and have just never shown symptoms. If you need reassurance about herpes, then follow accounts like Courtney Brame, Comfortable in My Skin, and Safe Slut on Instagram. We need to see STIs as normal. We need to see them as normal as catching a cold or flu from someone. We need to not allow the fact that they are connected to sex to make us feel like they're dirty or that we should be ashamed if we have them. We need to realise that although most can be easily treated, they can have negative consequences. And so it is essential that we remind ourselves of the potentials before we let down our boundaries. Insisting on condom use is important, and so is annual testing, and most especially cervical screening. Having an STI is no more embarrassing than having COVID or a kidney infection. We all need to grow up and play safe. Fear STIs enough to remind yourself to stay protected, but not enough that if you get one, you'll feel like life is over. Because it's not. Even with HIV, which used to be a death sentence. On my page today, we will have a chat about STIs, and you can tell me your thoughts. And also let me know, how many men are using condoms with you? Is it really a thing as much as I think it is? Let me know.
La la la, let me explain.
This has been a Sony Music Entertainment production.